y'all are talking because y'all like to catch up with people, but some of y'all are talking because you're long-winded. That's why we get along so well. A little bit of both. A little bit of both. You know what I like about people who are long-winded? They don't text as much as they talk. Have you ever noticed that? And then some people, like, you don't get peep out of them. They don't say one word. And next thing you know, you get like 7 pages of text. You're like, I got to pull over in my vehicle and like just spend 20 minutes reading the text. Actually, nobody texts me that long. I text myself that long. But anyway, I'm just joking. It's good. Take five. It's great to connect with people. It's great to give what God has placed on your heart to give to just further his kingdom and all the work that we're doing here at Fellowship Church, and gives you a chance to come and pray at the altar. Whatever you need to do in those 5 minutes. If you need to apologize to your spouse, that's a great 5 minutes to do that in a public environment. You know what I mean? It's just great, you know. And you say, I'm sorry for saying those jeans look tight, baby. She won't do that here. She may lay hands on you hastily, but it'll be in prayer, and we'll join with you guys. I'm just picking with you guys. So anyway, God is good, God is good, God is good. We are in week 3 right now of our Better Message series. Once again, thank you yesterday for everyone who came out yesterday on our clean up and eat up. And we had a lot of cleanup. We still got some cleanup to do. After service, we go out and grab a bite. But if you're a man or a woman and you love the smell of a good two-stroke chainsaw, you love the sound of a chainsaw, listen, go grab a bite to eat. Come right back here. We got the lift charging up right now. We rented it for the weekend, and we got more trees to trim. So for those of you who didn't get enough yesterday and you want a little bit more, y'all come back right after lunch. Oh, man, that's chainsaw this big. You know, it's just like, wham. You know, it's like having a 250cc dirt bike with a bar on it. You know what I mean? Really, my chainsaw is like, you know, that big. But anyway, guys, I prune like crepe myrtles and stuff. So after service, grab a bite if you want to come and help out. We have a few guys that are just going to finish up our day. So thank you all for being here yesterday and serving. I want to get Eric. Where is Sir Eric? Come on, good looking. That is the best looking guy on the back row. Let me see. No, Steve, I want to see who else you got. All right. Steve got me beat. Steve ain't got you beat. Really? You need glasses.
Up here with that bass guitar, everybody likes.
Well, bass makes anybody look good, right? Right. So listen, where's the microphone at? There you go. I have something that this young man, tiny fella too, we started a couple weeks ago meeting with small groups, and he didn't get a chance to make the first week. We're meeting for 5 weeks, and then we had a small group again last Sunday. And I don't know about you guys, but when you plan to do something good, sometimes you always have a little opposition, right? And he experienced a little bit of that. And I just want him to just briefly share about what, you know, going to small group and actually what it did for he and Sarah. Go ahead. It's all yours.
All right. So, like Damon said, my name's Eric. I'm glad to be here today. I'm here almost every Sunday. Most of you probably know me. Last Sunday, we came to church and we had a great morning. We had an awesome service, and I was convicted about some of the things in service. And when we left here, we started talking about going to small group that night, and I was instantly in a bad mood, and I couldn't figure out why. So I figured it was because I was the convictions I had from service. I was just getting attacked. And then Sarah and I ended up bickering the whole way, all the way into Damon's driveway for small groups. We were just back and forth, like to a point that we almost didn't even go. And then when we got inside and we started talking to everybody and hanging out and had small groups, and I shared a little bit about my attacks, and we all prayed and stuff, and we had a really good time together. And had that fellowship with each other and on a personal one-on-one basis like you get in small groups. After we left, I felt a lot better. And I was able to apologize sincerely for my actions and the way that I acted, because I look big, but I was acting like I was about that big, so it's all right. But I thought it was strictly because of my conviction from the message and the things that I had that I needed to change in my life, the little small things here and there that I needed to let go of. But after going to small group and getting in line and doing what we were supposed to, and then hearing that Brandy wasn't feeling good and even tried to talk Damon into canceling that night, I was like, okay, so we were all meant to be there for a reason that night, because they did what they were supposed to and kept forward with it, and then I did what I was supposed to and showed up, and it just worked out. So that's what I've got for it. I shared that with Damon. He asked me to share it with you guys.
Amen. Well, thank you. And that's the one thing that, we're just meeting for 5 weeks, and it's not that what we can get out of you, but it's what you can get out of it. That's all small groups is about. It's just giving you a chance to be with people who believe the same things you do, and you get a chance to share life together. And also with small groups, maybe you're kind of a little skittish about getting involved on a Sunday or serving on a Sunday here, and you value, you know, getting the word and getting taught. But there's one thing about small groups is you get an opportunity to express your gifts. You get an opportunity to, number one, show how well you cook, or you get, number two, show people how well you can listen and be there for them and embrace them and pray for them. You guys get where I'm going? Where you may not get a chance to do that here on a Sunday morning, because I don't know if you noticed this or not, but all of you guys are sitting in like rows, like pews, right? It's just kind of awkward because it doesn't feel awkward to you, but you really can't connect. But when you're sitting face to face in a circle, what happens? Life begins to be exchanged and encouragement and sharing different things and knowing that you're going through life with people that are there for you, right? So that's what we want you guys to know, is get connected to a small group. I'm leading one on Sunday evenings. Mr. Charlie and Carol, they had a great group last week. They're leading theirs on Sunday evenings as well. And then David and Wendy are doing theirs on Tuesday evenings at 6:30. Ours on Sunday evenings are at 5:30. Chase us down. We'll give you the address. We'd love for you to be a part of that. And we usually finish around 7:30 or so. So you have plenty of time to go home and do all of your chores that you didn't do over Saturday because you were here, and then you get a chance to get ready and go to work. Amen? For some of you are retired, and you get a chance to like laugh at us. How many retired people we got in here? Just raise your hand so we can just be envious a little bit. Wayne's raising his hand, you know. One day we'll get there. Hallelujah. But listen, week three, we're going to be talking about something that should encourage each and every one of you to desire something that maybe you haven't so much as you're coming up, growing up, or even where you are in life right now. But we're going to be talking about wisdom. Everybody say the word wisdom. How many of you guys or ladies have a big decision to make? Maybe this week, maybe this month, maybe today, maybe next couple of days. How many of you guys have big decisions that you have to make? Come on, just lift up your hands. You have some big decisions. I mean, life-altering, life-changing. It may change the dynamics of your home and the way things pan out and seem to be right now. Those are going to change by a decision that I'm going to have to make sooner or later. And a lot of us kind of hope it would be sooner because we could just get it over with. And then others are like, man, I hope I don't have to make that decision till later. But we all have to make big decisions. A lot of us have different seasons of life that we're in that require different types of decisions, different levels of decisions. You know, I think about some of you young folk. You know, you're looking at, you know, going to college and where do I go and where can I go? What would be best? How far can I get away from my parents? But yet they still come over and bring me food because I'm starving, because I'm living off of that type of budget. Or can I move 20 hours away where I just get a phone call every once in a while? Just joking, guys. But some of you are looking at college. You're trying to figure out where to go. Do I go to college? Do I apply and look for this job? Do I look for a different job, a better job, a job that works better for my schedule, that I can spend time in God's house or in the things that I can continue to grow in God? See, a lot of us have these types of decisions we're facing. Some of you are looking at your dating relationship. Should I consider dating so-and-so, whether it be this girl or this guy? And you're dating, should this relationship go a little deeper? Should we be talking about the future? Should we be talking about marriage? And, some of you guys are married and you're talking about kids. Let's pray for them right now. But, you know, you're thinking about those decisions. And I remember Brandy and I just having those discussions. You know, I was always like, no. But I just want a little baby. No, you can hold anyone a baby you want. Go to church on Sundays. You can hold 50 of them. They're all there and you can give them back. But I want our own. Now. But I tell you what, when God just really shows you that he's in charge, he will show you that he's in charge. But some of you are praying about what to do with the kids he gave you. Maybe you want to trade them in for someone else's kids. You know, I don't know. I've thought about it a couple of times. But, you know, honestly, and others of you, you've been trying. You're praying, God, we just want a son or we just want a daughter. And so we all have these decisions that we face. And it's very difficult at times. Some of you guys are trying to get rid of debt. You know, should I pay off the car? Should I pay off the credit cards? Should I stay at home to raise my family? Or should I go to work to help us get out of some of this, young people debt, you know? A lot of big, big decisions. And then you talk about the P word. It's a very small word, but it really affects a lot of your life. It's called a pet. And when you involve your children and the word pet, those, if they're connected somehow, you know you just adopted a new pet for you. Just enjoy it. Just smile about it. Just love it. Amen? But those are huge decisions. Huge decisions. Here's what I want you guys to get. We make our decisions, and our decisions make us. We make our decisions, and many times we're unaware of how our decisions actually make us. They will guide us. They will direct us. Because once you make a decision, once you decide to say those two little words, I do, guess what happened to the decision you made? It now makes you. It makes you have to say, I'm sorry, baby. Yes, dear. I'm sorry, baby. Yes, dear. Some of you husbands might want to write this down. This is a note you can write in big. I'm sorry. Yes, dear. Nobody's taking notes. Drew, why are you not taking notes? Some of y'all men are slacking. Like, this is heavy-duty artillery. I'm sorry. Yes, dear. Eric, you learning that yet? Sarah, has he said? Don't hit him that hard. We're in church. I'm sorry. Yes, dear. Mike, that's a valuable statement. I'm sorry. Yes, dear. Baby, you like when I say I'm sorry? You like when I say yes, dear? All right, good, good. So here's what I want you guys to get is who you are today, who we are today is a result of decisions we made prior, yesterday. And if we don't like who we are today, or if our spouse or our friends or our families don't like who we are today, and maybe there is some truth to that, we need to go back and pay attention and reevaluate some of the decisions that we've made before today that got us in the position that we are today. And also, you need to know the decisions that you make today have a direct response or result on who you're going to be in the future or tomorrow. So if you want to become a better person tomorrow, mañana, demain, that's Spanish and French, or forever down the road, it's not just going to happen. You can't just twinkle your nose and wham, you're like God's gift to your wife. Now, God can move in many miraculous ways. He can. But I think he's going to want you to do a little something about making decisions today to become that person, okay? So we're going to look at a better way to make decisions, not so much that we become better, that we're able to get things that are better. Why do we want to be better people? Why do we want to be better Christians? So that we can honor God better. This is not a self-help message series. This is about getting ourselves in line with God's word, in line with God's purpose, in line with his precepts, so that we can become someone who honors God and glorifies God. So I want to share with you guys a story. If you look in the book of 2 Chronicles, we're going to be sharing just a little story about someone who was just anointed as king, and that's King Solomon, okay? If you guys want to turn your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 is where we'll be at. Verse 7 through, I believe, maybe 12. But there's something, you know, with history and tradition that whenever a king was anointed to be king over Israel, they would give a sacrifice. They would give a burnt offering. And typically it was like one bull, you know, just sacrifice a bull to God. That was a form of worship. And so other kings had done that previously. Well, there's one thing about Solomon. He chose not to sacrifice one bull and showing, you know, an offering, a burnt offering. He chose not to even burn one. He didn't sacrifice 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 100. Solomon gave an extravagant offering that he had 1,000 burnt offerings given to God. When he was anointed as king, 1,000. Could you just imagine how extravagant, how sacrificial that was? I know we just hear words and we just see things on a screen and it doesn't really weigh on our hearts how deep of a commitment and a decision Solomon made when he said, I'm not just going to do one, but I'm going to give 1,000. I'm going to really, really sacrifice a huge offering. Why? To honor God. Now, I don't know whether what we're fixing to read is a direct result of this action. It could have some involvement. It may be not. But that night, after Solomon gave 1,000 of his burnt offerings, that night God came to him and said, whatever you ask for, I will give you. Whatever you ask for, I will give you. You guys want to turn there? I'm just thinking about this. If God came to you, if God came to me and said, Damon, whatever you ask for, I will give to you. How many of you guys just, if there was anything about Christianity you wish would be real, or you still believe that whatever you ask for, God will give it to you right now? Anybody ever thought that and believed it? Nobody's raising their hand. You bunch of faithless. Y'all know y'all thought that before. Lord, if I could just have this one thing. Lord, if you could just shut the mouth of my husband about all the stuff he just always wants to buy and talk about. Just, Lord, just zip it up. See, some of y'all got that. No, but if you ask a kid, what could you wish for? What could you ask God for? You know what they would say? More wishes. They smart. They're like, I'm not just going to get one. I want multiple wishes. I want multiple prayers to be answered. I just don't want this one. Now, some of you maybe, you know what? Show me the money. God, show me the money. God, one thing I want to ask for, give me $10 million, God. I can make such a huge difference. Oh, my goodness, it would be so phenomenal, Lord. Just show me the money. That would be your thing. If God said, what do you want? Whatever you ask for, I will give you. Some of you would say, I just want more power. I just want to be more famous. I just want to be known more. I got some stuff I need to put out there. People need to know what I got. Lord, if you could just answer that prayer. Some of you are like, Lord, if you could just make my enemies suffer. All those people that did such and such to me and they did me wrong. Lord, if you could just give them a dab of your vengeance, Lord. I know that scripture, if you could just give it to them. I've prayed that prayer before, I have. But we, God, if you could just do one thing. God, would you just return to them what they've done? Some of you are like, but if I could have that handsome husband. If I can have a husband that just loves the Lord and he loves to do neck rubs and he's a good cook. You guys, and you ladies are like, wow, yeah, men, I just want a smoking hot wife that knows how to cook. Y'all are. I got a smoking hot wife that knows how to cook and pray. And pray. That's the little bonus, the little lagniappe in French, which means just a little extra, just a little extra. Some of you guys, God, if I could have one prayer answer, if I could have one thing, I want to be healed of cancer. Maybe someone you love dearly, 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 dearly. God, if you could just heal them. That's the only thing I would ask for. Well, let's look at what Solomon asked for, because you guys get where we're going, right? He said, one thing you ask for, and I will give it to you. Big, 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 big. 2 Chronicles 1:10 shows us this amazing thing that King Solomon asked for. He said, give me wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. He said, give me wisdom and give me knowledge. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead these people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours. Solomon, anything you ask for, I will give it to you, is what God said. And what he asks for, he says, God, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead your people. That's pretty heavy. That's pretty deep. And let's look at what God says in this, okay? So he said, God said to Solomon in verse 11, he said, since this is your heart's desire. See, that's one thing that we can read this story and we can say, okay, well, if I ask God for wisdom and knowledge, then I'm going to get what he gave Solomon. But there's something different about God. He doesn't just see what is on our outside. He doesn't just see how we get all primped up and just get our etiquette just right where we can present the request to him and he can believe what he sees on the outside and give us. No, he sees our heart. And he saw that Solomon's heart was genuinely, wholeheartedly, God, I want wisdom, and I want knowledge. And he says, God says to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, you didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for possessions, you didn't ask for honor, nor the death of your enemies. And since you didn't ask for a long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, for whom I have made you king. Verse 12 says, therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be what? Whatever you ask for, Solomon, I'm going to give it to you. And he asked for wisdom and knowledge. And he said, I'm giving it to you right now. And now here's the thing about God. He will meet your need, but there's often times that he'll exceed your need, providing that your heart is where it needs to be. And with Solomon, he genuinely said, God, I want wisdom and knowledge to lead your people. That's all he asked for, and God saw that was the same request in his heart. So God said, not only am I going to give you wisdom and knowledge, but he says, I'm also going to give you wealth. Y'all guys read that. I'm also going to give you possessions and honor. He says, such as no king who was before you has ever had, and none that would ever come on after you will ever have as well. Isn't that amazing? Does that make you just kind of pay attention a little bit more about what it is we ask of God or where our heart is when we ask God certain things? It does for me. It does for me. I want wisdom, God. I want knowledge. I want to know how to lead these great people. I really don't want the other things. I just want wisdom and direction and knowledge, God. Just amazing. And then Solomon, from that point, continues to write about wisdom and the value of wisdom. In my opinion, he's written more about wisdom than any other author in the Bible because it was something that he really, really valued. In certain places, Ecclesiastes 9:18, he says that wisdom is better than weapons of war. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but back in those days, if you're a king and people wanted what you had, guess what happens? They're coming to get it. And he said, you know what? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. I want wisdom more than I want phenomenal weapons and huge numbers of armies. He goes on to say, wisdom is better than strength. Wow. I'm trying to teach my son that right now. That one thing he sees as a weakness, or what he thinks other students would see as a weakness, I'm trying to relate him, son, that's wisdom. And wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Can I get an amen? But our key verse for today, our memory verse, is Proverbs 16:16. Please turn your Bibles there. Don't come here just to hear me speak for 45, 50 minutes. You need to get your Bible open. You need to get your app open. You need to highlight. You need to write some notes down. And you need to read it this week and apply it to your life. Begin applying it to your life. And somebody said amen. The key scripture is how much better. This is what Solomon has to say. How much better to get wisdom than gold? How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver? How much what? Everybody say better. Some of y'all remember the first Mo better. How much better is wisdom? How much better is wisdom than gold, and then to choose understanding rather than silver? Now, guys, I cannot overstate what a big, big, big deal this is. Because if you look at gold and the value of gold since day one, still to this day, it's probably one of the most powerful things, right? Gold back then, you could buy whatever you want. You could do whatever you want. You had power. You had supply. You would never go without because you had something that was extremely, extremely, extremely valuable. And here he is saying, you know what? I would rather have wisdom than what everybody else is killing for. I would rather have wisdom than what everyone else is tirelessly working after. Does that sound a little bit like today's world? Imagine, you saying, God, I would rather have wisdom than have to work 40 to 60 hours a week. We can't equate the value behind that because we're so stuck with knowing that if we want to move forward in life, we have to work because I can't limit myself from buying, or spending, so therefore I have to work more. And that's not wise. That's not wisdom. Amen? God, I want wisdom more than I want gold. I want understanding more than I want silver. You know, why did Solomon take one of the most valued commodities and say, you know what? I want wisdom greater than that. Why did he say the second most valuable commodity, silver, and say, you know, I want understanding. I want to be able to understand you, God. I want to understand the things around me. That's much more valuable to me than silver. Everybody say Proverbs 16, 16. How much better to get gold, to get wisdom than gold, and to choose understanding rather than silver. Because listen, guys, if we choose to get wisdom today, we're going to make decisions not based on pros and cons, not based on what the world has to say about it, even the world's wisdom, which is foolishness according to the Bible. But if we make our decisions based on godly wisdom, on what he tells us to do in his word, and you give that a few years, you're going to see a huge change in your life. When you ask God for wisdom, it's going to radically change the trajectory of your life. You're going to end up somewhere you never dreamed of because you chose today, I want wisdom more than I want dollars. I want wisdom more than I want Miss So-and-so. I want wisdom more than I want Mr. So-and-so. I want wisdom. I want wisdom. I want wisdom. I want wisdom. It's going to change your trajectory. Why is it that Solomon is saying what people think they need, which is gold or silver, I would rather have wisdom and knowledge. You know, think about you as a couple. Some of you are struggling in your relationship, in your marriage. You've shared it with us, and even if you haven't shared it with us, it's evident. We see it. You need wisdom in relational wisdom, relational affairs in your life, in your marriage. You need wisdom. You don't need so-and-so from, you know, the coffee shop or so-and-so from, you know, your parents, your children's parents group that you're a part of. You need wisdom from God on how to guide your family and take care of your marriage. Some of you financially, living from week to week. You're beyond living from week to week. You're living off of stuff you borrowed 6 months, 6 years ago. And I'm not saying that condescending. I've been there. But here's the deal. You need financial wisdom. Now, there's programs that can help you. There's Christian programs that can help you. There's godly counsel. If you're willing to listen, they'll help you climb up out of where you have ended up. It may have been because of your choices where you lacked wisdom, or it may just be very unfortunate. But guess what? God is still the God that can get you out of unfortunate situations. Some of y'all, I knew I'd get an amen there, because we know he will and he can. Amen? But it's not just going to happen. You got to ask God for wisdom and how to make decisions that will change that. Some of you guys, you have teenagers. Lord knows you need wisdom. You need wisdom. Ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 7. Proverbs 4, verse 7. This is what it says. It says, wisdom is supreme. That means the highest ranking possible. Wisdom is supreme. The highest rank, the most valuable thing that you cannot get any higher. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, do what? Let it come to you if it does. If the winds blow your way, you'll catch a little bit of wisdom. No, what does the scripture say in Proverbs 4, verse 7? It says that wisdom is supreme. Therefore, what? Get, acquire, reach for. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't get lazy. Don't get comfortable. It says get wisdom. And then it just emphasizes that a little bit more. It says, though it does what? Oh, that's where some of y'all are getting off the bus, right? Because if anything's going to be good that's going to change the trajectory of my life, I'd just much rather it come free. I don't have to suffer now for something I want to enjoy later. Does that sound like something we've thought? I don't want to have to do without now so that I can enjoy later. But it says, though it costs you all you have, get understanding, get good judgment. It's going to cost you. Wisdom is not going to come freely. It's going to cost you some discipline. It's going to cost you to say no. It's going to cost you to say, you know what? Delete No, I'm not your friend anymore. You know, it's going to cost you blank, no more relationship. I can't have any contact with you anymore. You're not a horrible person. You're just not who God has for me. And some of us mix those up. Oh, but they're so good. They've been so good to me. They buy me gifts. They treat me out. They treat me well, blah, 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 blah. But like I said last week, where's the root? Did God send this person into your life? Did God send these people in your life? Y'all remember this, right? Trace it back. If God didn't put them in your life, then you might want to just hold back a little bit. Wait for his wisdom to show you. Maybe I just need to keep a little distance with this opportunity. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get wisdom, get good judgment, get understanding. Because it's going to pay off in the long run. Wisdom is supreme. Y'all say it. Say wisdom. Is what?
Supreme.
What does supreme mean? Highest ranking. The best of the best. Wisdom is supreme. God said, Solomon, whatever you want, I will give it to you. Like I said, it may have no relation to his offering, but it costed Solomon. He gave up 1,000 of his animals as burnt offerings. Just because he wanted to worship God. Does that make sense? My question to you is, when you worship God, do you feel the burn? When you worship God, do you feel the tearing of your fleshly life, of your comforts? When you worship God, are you doing it as a sacrifice of praise? Or is it just a song you listen to on the radio? Or maybe something you enjoy telling your friends, oh man, I worship at church. That's not the level of worship that Solomon was giving. Listen, when we worship God, we are denying ourselves what we want, what we think, what we feel. We are giving God our everything. Am I right? So what's your level of worship? Are you too big of a Christian not to get on your knees physically in that posture of brokenness, of humility, of submission? Getting before God. Listen, God's unleashed presence comes up in your life and my life. There is no other position but on our face. You hear me? When the glory of God comes upon you, it is carpet sucking time. Anybody ever had those before? What is he talking about? My carpet's dirty. I'm not doing it in my house. We don't have no Febreze carpet commercials at my house. But you guys know what I'm talking about. When God's power comes down, listen, everything else is out the window. You are just bare, bare in front of God. If you want wisdom, you want to grow closer to God, it's going to cost you. Solomon talks a lot about that. He constantly talks about the contrast between wisdom and foolishness. Wise people, foolish people. Everybody say wisdom? Everybody say foolish. Now here's something that's a little different. You may not know this, you may not be aware of it, but fools really don't know that they're fools sometimes. Right? Like, fools don't know that they're doing things that are foolish. How many of you guys have told so-and-so, I cannot believe you're dating him. Can you not see? I can't believe you're with this girl. Oh, my goodness, are you so blind? Something's got your attention. Where is everybody today? You're so foolish. What are you doing with him? What are you doing with her? That's not going to get you in the trajectory you want to go. You're going for what feels good now, what smells good now, what looks good now. No. But foolish people really don't know that they're being foolish. I used to be real foolish and I didn't know. How many of you guys were raised in the 80s? Foolish. Hair that stuck up like this took you 30 minutes, 6 cans of White Rain hairspray, and about 15,000 kilowatts worth of electricity so you could have bangs that was a foot tall. Foolish. Am I right? Think about that. We do foolish things. And how about you guys? parachute pants, the Japanese sun bandanas. Y'all hear it? Dump, 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 dump. Da-dump, da-dump, dump, dump, dump. Wiki, 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 wiki. Come on, y'all got just foolish. Ball just breaking it down, all that stuff, you know. Foolish. But you know what? We had fun. But we didn't know we were foolish. I was showing my son breaking videos this week. He said, Daddy, what's wrong with those people? Baby, they breaking. Spinning around on linoleum. You know you were a breaker when you carried linoleum around when you go to your friend's house, right? Really? Yeah, that's how you do them good back spins, boy. But just for, and then it got into the tight roll era. Feet turning blue, right? Because you got them tight rolls just, bam, boy, just. That's what I'm talking about right there, boy. Ken, you need to get your wife in order. Bird legs. That's, it may look small, but it can carry. It can carry now. But what I'm getting at, guys, is we'll be foolish and we have no clue. We have no clue. I found myself just throwing up in grass many, many dewy mornings. I'm never doing this again. I'm never taking a drink again. What y'all doing tomorrow night? Foolish. Foolish. Coming home with all kind of friends, diseases, and things. We're laughing about it, but we're still making foolish decisions when we say, no, God, I'm not going to go there. No, God, I'm not going to serve there. No, God, I'm not going to give this to you. So I want to ask you guys a question, or actually a little series of questions. How many of you often act before you think? Just raise your hand. You act before, see, you just raised your hand. I said, raise your hand. I want to raise my hand. We act before we think. And I'm telling you, preaching this to my son since he was like this big, son, stop and think. Stop and think. Listen, you can avoid a lot of chaos if you just stop and think. If you just stop and think. But a lot of times, see, the foolish people, they act before they think, is what I used to do. I'd act before I think. What about people? How many of you guys spend almost as much as you make? Come on, let's kind of be proud. We spend almost as much as we make. Sometimes we spend a little more than we make. We spend. Come on, raise your hands. Don't be bashful. See, we the broke folk. For once, I could finally feel so proud. But we spend really more than we make, or we spend as much as we make. How many of you have, raise your hands, how many of you have hurt someone you love? How many of you hurt someone that loved you? Get a lot more people there. How many of you are slow to ask for help? I got this. I can do this all by me, myself, and I lonesome. Doesn't it feel good to just kind of raise your hand in some of these little questions? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about those who raiseth their handeth whenever Pastor Damoneth asketh questioneth. Proverbs 13:16 says, fools act before they think. The Bible says, Proverbs 13:16 says, wise people think before they act. Wise people think before they act, fools don't. And they even brag about their foolishness. They even expose their folly. Lord knows I was all about that. The first phone call I ever made to Brandy, I don't even remember what I was talking about, but I know I said something. I was probably on probation, stealing go-karts, something with the cops. I'm pretty sure I said something along those lines. A fool, look, we got a good mama saying, Dial tone, baby, I would have hung up. But she didn't. She was young. She didn't know. But foolish. Fools would just brag about their foolishness. Can I get an amen? Some of you guys helping out with the logs and the trees yesterday, you were foolish when you seen that big old cut log right there, and you had seven guys standing around you like we all work for the county. And you grabbed that big log. You sit it down there. You weren't so big this morning when you went to get out the bed, right? What's wrong, baby? Oh, I'm good. foolish. I see some of you wives looking at your husband. I see that already. That's good. That's good. Keep on being foolish. Fools spend all they earn. Proverbs 21:20. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. See, last week we learned about better it is to have one handful with tranquility than to have two with toil, a chasing after the wind. This scripture says basically the same thing. You know, it says, you know what? Let me just be satisfied with what I have. Let me be disciplined with what I have, what God has given me for my efforts, and let me just have it so that I have enough to keep me going. I'm not hoarding, but I'm also not spending and eating and devouring all that I have, because the Bible says that's what a foolish person does. See, last week we learned that when I have one handful with tranquility, I have this other handful that I can have for the next day or the next people and to help so-and-so. And the same it goes with this scripture, that they have storage. They have a pantry that has choice food and oil. The next scripture says, Proverbs 14:1, fools hurt those they love. And then it goes on and it says, the wise woman builds her house. Okay, everybody say the wise woman. So the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. I want to read that out of the Amplified Version. It says, the wise woman builds her house on a foundation of godly precepts, and her household thrives. It flourishes. There is this energy that is going forward, getting better, growing, expanding. But the foolish one, who lacks spiritual insight, tears her own house down with her hands by ignoring godly principles. Foolish woman, foolish man is condescending, always talking down, always negative. And I know we can blame that on, well, I've always been that way. I just really struggle with negativity. Foolishness. And I'm saying that from a personal conviction. Foolishness. Everybody say foolishness. Says that a foolish person tears down their own home. Pay attention to the way you speak to your wife, your husband. Pay attention to the way you speak to your kids. The way you speak to your dogs, that's up to you. Bible doesn't say a whole lot about that. Some of y'all are going to hate me. Like, you really? I have three dogs. I love all three of them. I really do. But they all three can work my ever-living nerve. God put them on this planet so that I could have to teach me patience. Amen. And wisdom. But anyway, guys, Proverbs really talks a lot about whenever we tear our homes down. We don't want to be domineering. We don't want to be angry all the time. The foolish one tears or hurts those they love. Men are the same. We finally, guys, Proverbs 12:15 says, a fool think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Now, it doesn't mean just listen to others. Just open yourself up to whatever so-and-so wants to say at work. Just listen to what. No, you need to seek godly counsel. You need to seek someone that has probably been exactly where you are, and they made it out alive, and they made it out by getting wisdom from God or other godly counsel, okay? Don't be reading Cosmopolitan and all these crazy little magazines or blogs or internet sites. You need to get with someone who has walked with God, someone who has trusted God, someone that had to sacrifice and give and suffer a little bit, but it was worth it. That's who you want to get something from. Come on, tell me, teach me. I want to listen to the wise. I don't want to be a know-it-all. Why? How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver? So I'm going to give you three quick ways, then we're closing. Three quick ways. How do you get wisdom? Because, Damon, you're talking about wisdom, but you hadn't told me how to get wisdom. Here's three ways. First one is to fear God. What do you mean? If I fear God, then I get some wisdom in my deposit, and I get my bank account, I get a little wisdom. Just because I say I fear God? No, it's a little deeper than that. It's not talking about so much of, you know, worry that God is just going to spank you. Worry is just God's ready. He's ready to punish you when he sees you do anything wrong. Just bam, strike one, strike two. No, fear of the Lord is a reverential fear. It's a fear that says, you know what, God? I don't really want my own way. I do, but deep inside, I really need your way. God, I want to... I want to follow what you're telling me to do. God, ultimately, you're in control of my life, even though I think I know it all and I don't need to ask for help. See, those are some things of, let me fear God. Let me fear God. Let me have a reverential fear, a holy awe of God. And I've seen in the last 20-something years of ministry, people have just gotten way too comfortable with God. Just way too casual. Oh, yeah, I'm good with the man upstairs. Yeah, we talk every once in a while. You know, I still do my thing, though, you know. Still live my life the way I want. I still live in sin. I still do the things I want to do because that preacher told me that whatever you confess and he'll forgive you and you go, you know, Jesus, go to heaven, all that stuff, and Corinthians and Corinthians, and I'm good. All too casual. Now you got, you know, so many churches, mega churches, thousands of campuses. Nobody really turning from sin, but we're in Sunday at church on Sundays, Saturdays. You guys get where I'm going? It's just casual. It's all casual. We better not forget the holiness of God. He says, how can you please God unless you live a pure life? Unless you know, how can you lift up holy hands and a voice to God unless you live a life that is worthy of the call? We have to have a reverential fear. Everybody say fear. So we need to fear God. Suddenly, because I fear God, the decisions I make are going to please God. I'm not going to do what I want. I'm not going to make decisions on what I want or what so-and-so wants. I'm going to make decisions on what God is telling me he wants. Second thing is to ask God. Everybody say, ask God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Just like Solomon said, God, I want wisdom. I want knowledge. God said, I will give it to you. Not only will I give that to you, but I'm going to give you all the things you didn't even ask for because it wasn't even in your heart. But I'm a loving God. I'm a giving God. I want to give to you so that you can flourish, so that you can thrive. I'm giving you what you asked for, but because you asked for that, here's more. And we ask God for wisdom, just like James says. But then it goes on. James says, you know what? Whenever you ask for wisdom, don't doubt it. Because when you doubt it, you do without it. Make sense? When you ask for wisdom and then you doubt what he told you to do because it's not in line with what you wanted, when he tells you to stay away from so-and-so, yeah, but God, I've already invested all this time in such and such. Go with what he's telling you to do. Amen? And the last thing is surround yourself with wise people. Number one, fear God. Number two, ask God. Number three is to hang out with wise people, to walk with wise people. Proverbs 13:20 says this. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools does what? Has a good time? Suffers harm. Suffers harm. How do I do that? How do I hang out with wise people? Remember this, 1 Corinthians, it says that bad company corrupts good character. Bad company, till the day I die. I know that song, y'all like that, huh? Bad company corrupts good character. That means that if I associate, if I enjoy being in the company of those who are ungodly, it's going to begin to alter my moral obligations. My son's 11 years old, and I'm already teaching him about creating desires in someone that the only way that you can fulfill what you created in them is to sin against God. Does that make sense? So if you're hanging around with people that they're egging you on to do this or to do that, and the only way that you can please them or please yourself is to sin against God, that's what you want to stay away from. You guys get that? A little bit of compromise doesn't make it right. A little bit of compromise will get you more than what you bargained for. And I'm saying all this from personal experience. You want to walk. Everybody say walk. Walk with the wise. If I'm walking with the wise, it's going to take some attention. I'm going to have to listen to them. I have to stay close enough to them to listen to how they're teaching me. And I'm going to have to walk places that I don't normally go because there's a time in my life I didn't want wisdom. I was a know-it-all. I was full of pride. I was arrogant. I had it all together. And where did that get you? Anybody? Nowhere fast. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fool suffers harm. There's two things that I asked God for when I really got serious about walking with him was in 1997, 1998. I say, God, I want to be a godly man. God, I want to be someone that chases hard after you. I don't want to give up any little obstacle that comes up. I don't. I want to be who you've made me to be. And I want to be a faithful husband. I want to love my wife like you tell us that you love the church. I want to love my wife that way. And I want to be a godly father to not only my kids that you gave me, but God, I want to be a father to generations of people. Generations. Those are the only two things I asked for in 1998. But because I asked God for those two things, what has happened to the last 20-something years? The trajectory of my life was forged, was made that day when I chose to ask God for wisdom. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that right now, God, the truth of your word, and I know we bounce and skip around different scriptures, Lord, but Father, the point that we're trying to really clarify is, Lord, we need to seek you. We need to seek your wisdom. We don't want to haphazardly just flounder around in life, God. Some of us are tired. We're exhausted. I see it in their faces, God. They are just exhausted, literally, from just floundering around, doing the same thing, but yet expecting a different outcome. God, we need your wisdom. I just want to join with you in prayer right now. Today's message is the cry of your heart. You just want wisdom. Just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Father, I just reach out to these people, God. Keep your hand lifted, please. God, that you would hear the cry of their heart. God, that they want wisdom, not so that they can gain or acquire wealth or possessions, but God, they want wisdom and how to live their life that would honor you. God, that when they stand in front of you, they will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God, would you pour out wisdom? God, would you eradicate, move any obstacles in their way so that they can receive wisdom from you today in certain decisions? I ask this in Jesus' name. Now, we don't want to leave others out. The worship team is going to sing just a brief moment. And today's message really, really pierced your heart because you know someone that needs wisdom. You know someone that's living foolishly. Won't you come and pray for them right here? Maybe just grab the person next to you and say, "Look, I want to go pray for someone. Could you come with me? I want to pray for my nephew. I want to pray for my daughter. I want to pray for my cousin or my coworker." Just take a few moments and pray for those people as they sing a song. Yes, Father, I gotta pray over everyone, Lord, as they leave here today. That God, they wouldn't just seek wisdom today, but Lord, tomorrow, before their feet hit the floor, God, I pray that they would connect with you. Those short bursts of communication, just like we said in week one of this series, Lord. Better is one day in your courts, in your presence, than a thousand elsewhere, God, that tomorrow morning, before they start their day, they will connect with you, God. Give me wisdom. Show me who to speak to. Show me who to love. Show me who to pray for. Show me who to encourage. Show me who to serve. Show me who to forgive. God, give me wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You guys are such an attentive group, and I thank God for you. Amen. For those of you who have children, please go ahead and